This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Welcome to the Adam Gold Show. Hope everything is well. I am Adam Gold. Dennis Cox is here. I shouldn't say a full week, but we're at least starting the week whole. You and I were both not here Monday and Tuesday of last week, right?
Sort of.
Well, yes, you're always here. Yeah. You don't take days off.
No, I don't know how.
Awesome. We will have breaking news in a moment. Look, we could pick apart every NFL coach's post-game, post-practice comments for intellectually dishonest comments, right? So the question was why you didn't start either Baker Mayfield or Sam Darnold against the Patriots, why they didn't play, the idea that, well, you know, we don't have our starting line, blah, blah, tight end, blah, 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 blah. Ike Ekwonu played, I think. Tommy Tremble played. So there were elements of ones on the field. But I think we all realize now that there were like a legitimate reason why he didn't play either Mayfield or Darnold. And it was probably because decisions had already been made. Right? Mm-hmm. It's pretty simple. And decisions have been made and announced, and let's start there. It also occurs to me that as we're on television and more people have been sampling us on WRAL Plus, Sports, WRAL Sports Plus, on Roku, Fire, Apple, Android TV, the WRAL Sports Fan app, WRAL TV app, all of that, over the air, 34.1?
Correct.
1257 Spectrum Cable if you are local to the WRAL TV 5 viewing area. It occurs to me that you might believe me to be a Notre Dame fan. I'm kind of in Notre Dame colors today.
Yeah, you kind of are, now that I think about it. Navy. The midshipman.
That's right. You know what? I'm going to go Navy.
You have been on record as saying you want Navy in the ACC.
Yeah. Navy as a bone to Notre Dame.
Yeah.
But then again, the Big Ten has already gotten ahead of that with the biggest bone, Southern Cal. And if they want to, I haven't seen the resolution of what's happened with the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, and UCLA yet. I don't think that has played itself out.
I don't think it has either.
We could end up with Stanford and UCLA as opposed to UCLA, rather Stanford and USC as opposed to UCLA and USC, and then Notre Dame's two West Coast annual opponents, the Trojans and the Cardinal, would both be members of the Big Ten. I don't know how it's going to happen. The Big Ten doesn't need UCLA. They just thought it would be better to have UCLA and USC come together. Who knows? Kevin Warren basically said that they're going to go to 80 teams in the next 5 years. So we'll see what happens there. All right, here's the breaking news. You want to play a breaking news sounder or not? Here we go. Two starting quarterbacks have been named.
Two of them. So today in quarterbacks.
Yes. Two different teams, though.
Oh.
You can't name two starting quarterbacks to one team. Well, I guess you could, but you would be lying. The Panthers will start Baker Mayfield, to nobody's surprise. And we'll pare these down more a little bit in a little bit. The Tar Heels are going with Drake May over Jacoby Criswell.
Okay.
All right, here's the thing. For the Panthers, and everybody has been talking about this for a while because it was pretty obvious and I've mentioned this a thousand times already, and I did the interview on ESPN Radio the day after the trade of Baker Mayfield from Cleveland to Carolina, and they're like, well, what are the chances he beats out Sam Darnold? I'm like, well, that bar's pretty low because Sam is Sam. But ultimately, they didn't trade for Baker Mayfield for him to not be the starting quarterback. And I'm not even sure Baker was better than Sam. You know, if we're going to sit around and say Baker earned it, I'm like, well, sort of. I would argue that he earned it before he got here, not while he got here, because at best it was a push. At best. Darnold did good things. Baker did good things. They both did bad things in the first game. And not that so many bad things in the first game. I think both were good in the first game. But in practices, they both did bad things in this joint practice with the Patriots. They both made a bunch of mistakes. They both did some good things. So at best, it was a wash. But that's really all it had to be. As long as Baker wasn't an abject disaster, he was going to be the starting quarterback. And we don't really have to get into it beyond that, because there's a reason why you traded for Baker Mayfield.
Mm-hmm.
Because you had no faith in Sam Darnold. And that's okay. Like, very few of us had faith in Sam Darnold after watching him for the better part of one season. And knowing what Sam Darnold's body of work was in 3 years with the Jets, we just knew that it wasn't going to be awesome. Now, if you believe that Baker Mayfield has awesome in front of him, then you are a huge Baker Mayfield fan, and that's okay. I think he has a personality that invites fandom, and that's okay. That's good. That's part of what we've been talking about with Baker Mayfield in the he carries himself like that guy. He has a top-level quarterback like aura about him, even though the body of work is at best checkered. There is some good in there. In the year two, the pandemic year, Baker was very good, and I think we all agree that last year we have to think, well, we'll see, because he was hurt all of last year, and even though it wasn't his throwing shoulder, I think any injury will impact a quarterback's play. I think his play was impacted by a labrum tear in his left shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Again, not his throwing shoulder, but I think it was impacted. So I'll give him the total benefit of the doubt. And again, I just think that he won this job before he got here. And he just couldn't be a disaster. And he wasn't a disaster.
Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We're talking retirement and coach. I'm a simple guy, but I like colors. Tell me how I can color code money and get ready for retirement.
I like colors too. I like pictures. Colors. I like graphs. I don't like just a bunch of words. And so what we try to do is we try to break down all those words on your statement, all those numbers into three colors, red, green, yellow. People are amazed when they come in, and most of their money is in the red category.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Now, red means high horsepower potential. It also means high loss potential. So you have to, it's a give and take. You can, are you willing to do that or that? Yellow means liquid money. You can get it anytime. It's not going to earn anything. Green gives you safe growth, but also gives you lifetime income. As we get closer to retirement, we need some green accounts. We need the green zone, we call it. In Baghdad, green zone was important. Green zone's important for you, too. The next 10 people, Adam, it's a $1,000 value. Golden ticket we're going to put together for you, your very own total plan that has a green zone.
It's a traffic light. I hope it's green for you. 800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter.
Now, real quick to the game, there was a mix of good and bad Friday night against the Patriots. Matt Corral providing the majority of the bad, although not on the field. I thought he looked much better than he did in his first game against the Commandos.
Couldn't get much worse.
Right, he was bad. He was very bad. And he wasn't all great, but he made some good, short, quick throws. What we don't know is how much of that was entirely scripted for him. You're going to do this. You're going to get the snap. You're going to take one beat and throw it. And this is where you're going. So we don't know how all of that really fit in. But he obviously looked a lot better in his second appearance. And then we get the injury. Right at the toward the end of the game. Mm-hmm. Lisfranc, they believe it's a Lisfranc tear. His rookie season, I think I read over the weekend they declared him out for the season. So his rookie season will be spent on IR. But on the field, here's Matt Rhule talking about the other Matt.
I thought he looked sharp early. I thought he, you know, completed balls. You know, I thought at the end, you know, a lot of those situations normally we'd probably, you know, with 4 minutes left and timeouts, we probably would, you know, run a draw or something, a screen, and pump the ball and try to play defense. But those are invaluable reps for Matt to be down there. You know, there's going to come a time where he's going to have to lead a drive coming out of someone else's end zone with the crowd being like that, and getting those guys in the huddle and making sure they have the snap count and making sure we're not false starting. So, you know, even as he came off the field, I got after him a little bit about it in a good way. These are teaching moments, right? So what we don't want to do, Darren, is we don't want to come out in these games and, you know, make it easy for the guys because, hey, he's a two, he's a three. We want to give them opportunities to show that, hey, I can play for you. And so preparing them for their opportunity. And so, but I thought Matt did a lot of good things, and there's a lot to learn from on the tape.
All right. Can I hear the beginning of that cut again? Because I think the first sentence or two is disturbing.
I thought he looked sharp early. I thought he, you know, completed balls. You know, I thought at the end, you know, a lot of those situations normally we'd probably, you know, with 4 minutes left and timeouts, we probably would, you know, run a draw or something, a screen, and pump the ball and try to play defense.
All right, that's fine. Let's stop right there. Really, Matt?
Mm-hmm.
Really? So, you know, we're down, and you know, with 4 minutes left, we might not even try to pick up a first down. We might just run a draw and just get out of there and.
Just also him assuming that he would have timeouts left, that he didn't burn them trying to save for delay of game in the third quarter.
In a real game, they would have been out of timeouts by that point. That's a very good pull on your part. All right, I'm not going to obsess. I'm not going to obsess over it.
I love the hard analysis here. He completed some balls.
He did. Find the lie. Look, I thought he was good early. That's fine. Look. He was always going to be a work in progress. That's why he lasted until the third round. That's why the Panthers traded up back into the third round to get him. All right, now Matt Rhule on why Baker and Darnold didn't play.
No, the ones didn't play, and those guys are both competing to be with the ones. And so we wanted to make sure that they had a chance. You know, we didn't want to put one guy or two guys out there and playing behind the second offensive line. You know, the guys, the second and third quarterbacks, really the third and fourth, they went out there and played behind the second offensive line. And, you know, we just like we held Derek Brown, you know, who didn't even play last week, we held most of the ones, except for maybe Tommy Tremble, just because we needed some tight ends. We're so thin at the position right now.
All right. He was willingly sacrificing P.J. Walker and Matt Corral, although Ike Ekwonu did play. And it was not, certainly early, it was not great on the part of Ike Ekwonu. Here's the head coach.
Yeah, Ike's just young. And as I said to you guys, a young left tackle, we need to make sure he's prepared for the season. And so he needed these reps. So to go against Judon, to go against Dietrich Wise, you know, those are excellent pass rushers. And, you know, even as we were walking off the field together at the end of the game, you know, because obviously he gave up a hit on a TE, then he gave up a sack. You know, hey, what happened? And his thought process and helping him learn from that so that he can, you know, he can, hey, this is what happened. I expected a bull. I went to this. Invaluable work. And the same thing for Brady. So, you know, we wanted to get those guys some reps, and we did.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19th, 2006. But it all started May 6th, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.
There's going to be some growing pains with Ike Ekwonu. There's no question about it. And Jeff Judon is a dynamite player, and he had to deal with Montez Sweat in the other preseason game. But this just in, most of the teams in the NFL have somebody coming off the edge that is a problem.
Yeah.
Right? Most of the NFL teams have somebody coming off that edge who is a major problem. The quarterback's blindside. That is a difficult job, and I just hope he continues to improve. I mean, because Baker Mayfield will need that.
Well, here's the thing. For him being a rookie, struggle now in games that don't matter. Struggle
friendlies.
And learn.
Struggle
and
in the friendlies.
Better. Yeah, struggle, yeah. Learn,
who's
get
coming
better.
Off that edge in week one against the Browns?
Myles Garrett.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have fun.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. There was. I thought there were some good things about the game, though. I really do. I thought the Panthers, and I realized it was mostly twos and threes, but I thought their defense kind of owned the first quarter. Patriots had some possessions and did nothing with them. Mac Jones was rushed into inaccuracies. I thought there was pressure on the quarterback. Then the one big play down the left sideline really, I think, loosened everything up. Panthers did have some trouble stopping the run, but I thought there were enough good signs out of the second-team defense. I think their defense will be good again. It's not the second-best defense in the league. That was always kind of a fallacy, but I think their defense will be good again, and it'll be nice to see that. Starters will play Friday night in the final friendly against the Bills at Bank of America Stadium. All right. There was rampant real quick about Drake May, shall we? Just, you know, he wins the battle with Jacoby Criswell. He'll be the starter. And the season is here for North Carolina.
Yeah.
I mean, week zero is upon us, and they will host FAMU on Saturday at Keenan Stadium before the season really gets going the following weekend at App. Here's the thing about North Carolina. I think especially when you're going with an unproven quarterback, the fact that you get a game like this under your belt, and I think that every college team should play what amounts to an exhibition game, a friendly. Mm-hmm. And these are the games against FCS competition, because if you play it as a real football game, it simply doesn't count, right? Just an exhibition. Basketball teams play exhibitions, right?
Mm-hmm.
They do. Every year they play one exhibition. Sometimes they'll play two. Those are fine. Nobody complains about them. They're just exhibitions. You're going to win them, but it stinks that it counts as an actual game because they're utterly useless. So play these games. It would still be good for those institutions because if it's on your schedule, your fans are going to come watch you play. They don't care.
True.
Like, they don't care. They'll sell them as part of your season ticket package. Doesn't matter. You're still going to cut a check to, like, North Carolina's cutting a check to FAMU.
Yeah.
Right? These games shouldn't count. That's all. That's all anybody's ever said. They shouldn't count. We don't have to play them as part of the spring game. I don't know that how many people are going to go to a spring game if it's FAMU, but you put this game the week before the season starts, they're coming. A lot more people will come than won't.
We should call it week zero.
That would be a great thing to do. So we're going to see on Saturday, Drake May get his feet wet against the Rattlers, and that's the way these games should be played. And I think we'd have fewer week one, like, eye-raising moments if we got a week zero exhibition game on everybody's schedule. We'd have fewer moments where, how did that happen? Because in week one, those moments happen. Although maybe that's good for college football. All right, back to some other things. Rampant speculation about Tom Brady, his whereabouts, and would he be a part of this season's Buccaneers? Todd Bowles last week helped to feed that conspiracy mill when he was vague about Brady's return. Here was Jeremy Fowler this morning on ESPN on Brady's absence.
Everything I've heard is that this is sort of a minor thing, that if it was a left guard or a cornerback going through the same thing, it really wouldn't be a headline. But since it's Tom Brady, it's magnified. So I'm talking to people over there. I haven't sensed any sort of panic. But if it is prolonged somehow longer than they thought, then it becomes an issue. So I think that's where Todd Bowles is leaving a little wiggle room. But right now, there's no sort of DEFCON issue where everybody's on high alert. And then really, he got up to a good start with all his receivers, the new guys, Julio Jones, Kyle Rudolph. There's no real concern there about timing and what he can do with those players.
All right. Bowles didn't leave himself wiggle room. Bowles was purposely vague. When we played the comments last week, mm-hmm. he was, you know, I don't have an update. We won't, but like, he wasn't sure either that or he absolutely intentionally made it seem that way. Now, Todd Bowles seems more sure.
Like I said, a week and a half ago, I said he'll be back this week. So, that hadn't changed. We expect him back this week.
Gotcha. Do you know yet which day it's going to be?
It'll be this week early.
So when he was asked this last week, he could have simply said, look, we said a week ago that it would be after the game against the Titans. Mm-hmm. So it will be this week. But he chose not to. He basically said, when we have an update, you'll have an update.
Well, we didn't know if the Masked Singer had reshoots, Adam.
That's the thing. That's the Reddit thing. Anyway.
I mean, it's a conspiracy theory, and I'm here for that.
Bucks fans can now breathe, exhale. Tom Brady will be back. Even when he is not around, though, Tom Brady has the rare ability to make the news. Sort of like LeBron James or Tiger Woods or Michael Jordan, because we know through the Dolphins tampering issues that the initial plan was for Brady to go to Miami. Remember? He was going to go to Miami, but they had other things and they couldn't work this whole thing out. He ends up with the Buccaneers, but apparently Miami was not the only option. Dana White. What?
Yeah.
That Dana White says that the plan was originally to be closer towards his North Carolina home. I'm sorry, Northern California home. I actually wrote Northern California, and I don't know why I said North Carolina.
That's
we can
fine.
Edit that out later.
Yeah.
The plan was to go closer to his Northern California home.
I worked to put that deal together for Brady and Gronk to come to the Raiders. And it was almost a done deal. And at the last minute, Gruden blew the deal up and said that he didn't want him. And all hell broke loose, man. It was crazy. And Brady was already looking at houses, and it wasn't being said yet that Gronk was coming. So Las Vegas would have had Brady and Gronk the year that the Bucs won the Super Bowl, except Gruden blew the deal up.
So he was asked about this because this was on with the Gronks, that second screen experience,
right? Okay.
On ESPN. Yeah. So he was asked in the post-fight presser, hey, you mentioned this, and he doubled down on it. He's like, yeah, I had talked to them. They were ready to come to Vegas because he's invested in the Raiders. He has a box there. So he was like, yeah, they were set to come here, but Gruden screwed it up.
Did you watch the second screen Gronk experience?
I did not.
All right,
I actually watched the
first. I didn't either, but I saw like video clips of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what my takeaway was? Papa Gronk is yoked.
Yeah. Oh, they're all jacked.
Well, no, they are, but like those guys are all like Gronk and at least one of his brothers. They're like athletes, pro athletes.
Yeah.
And they were all athletes. But Papa Gronk's got to be in his 60s, right?
Late 50s, maybe, right? Early 60s.
He's got to be. He's like, bless your heart, man. You are completely put together. Good for him. All right. Here's a juicy bit of gossip. We'll close on this. Florida State University President Richard McCulloch, speaking at a Tallahassee, Florida Chamber of Commerce event on Saturday, said that the school would be aggressive in conference realignment. All right. Somebody tweeted this out. We're trying to do anything we can to think about how we can remain competitive. Florida State is expected to win. And again, this is about being aggressive in conference realignment. There are two ways to take that. We're actually going to talk about this with Wes Durham coming up in about an hour. The first is Florida State is actively exploring getting out of the ACC, which I'm not surprised that any team is thinking about how could we possibly leave without it costing us hundreds of millions of dollars, because the grant of rights does seem to be pretty solid. So there's that way to think about it, that you're looking at, well, can we go here? Can we go there? And the other way to look at it, and it's probably the more likely result, maybe not the most likely desire, Florida State actively pushing the ACC to expand. Mm-hmm. So who knows what that the desires are there from Florida State, but we have the sitting president of a university telling a Chamber of Commerce event that, yeah, we got to get out, we have to be better positioned. I would argue this for Florida State. If you can't be competitive in this league, I don't have to say anything more, do I?
No.
And that's just dot, dot, dot. If you can't be more competitive in the ACC, what do you think is going to happen in the SEC or the Big Ten? What are we doing? These people talk out loud as though everybody is stupid. Can you imagine? Like, I wish that Texas had to be in the SEC today. Because how's 5-7 feel on a year-in, year-out basis, Longhorns? You better be ready when that comes. And, I mean, to an extent, I think the same thing about Oklahoma. You better be ready. I just, what are we doing? That's why they're university presidents.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.